Hi everyone, welcome back. Now that we know what the direct method and indirect method are all about, let's go through each of those and let's do a little example and see how the calculations work. With this module, let's focus on the direct method. Go to the next slide with me and let's get started. As a review, the direct method will list out each specific individual cash inflow and outflow in the body of the statement. To do this, we are going to make extensive use of T accounts. We're going to have to use T accounts to figure out, well, what was the cash effect of these items that we find on the income statement? Now, if you go to the next slide with me, I've kind of got a diagram here that basically shows what cash flows from operations following a direct method are all about. You have your two most common cash receipts. Receipts from our customers for selling goods or providing services, as well as receipts from things like interest and dividends that we get on either money that we've put into the bank or stock that we may own in other organizations. Those are our cash inflows. The cash outflows include cash that we paid to purchase inventory, cash paid to our employees for salaries, cash paid to the government for taxes, to our creditors for interest, cash paid for virtually any expense item on the income statement. You take the inflows, subtract the outflows, and that's your net cash provided by operations. The direct method, the reason I have this here, the direct method will list out each one of these items and show the amount related to that specific item. As we saw in the last module, the indirect method will not do that. Let's go to the next slide and a little bit more about the direct method. The procedure that we are going to follow in doing the direct method for operations. Kind of a two-step procedure. Step one, for each item on the income statement, because remember that operating activities are the cash effects of items on the income statement. For each item on the income statement, identify a corresponding balance sheet account. For example, sales revenue on the income statement matches up with or corresponds to the accounts receivable on a balance sheet. And accounts receivable come about when we make sales on account. So for each item on the income statement, we'll find a corresponding balance sheet account. And once we've identified the account on the balance sheet, draw a T account. Draw a T account for that balance sheet account, and we're going to need to analyze it to determine what was the cash impact. And we'll see how to do that as we go through our example. Go to the next slide, and before we can jump to the example, a couple of key points. Operating activities, direct method, relate to the cash effects of those items on the income statement. However, not all items appearing on the income statement have a cash effect. In other words, there are some revenues and expenses that are called non-cash because we don't either get cash or pay cash for them. Now, we should know one of those. We should know one example of a non-cash expense because we saw it in a previous module. That's depreciation. We do not pay cash to depreciate assets. Hence, it's called non-cash expense. Two other examples of two other items we've worked with to this point deal with gains and losses. Losses, another non-cash expense. A gain, a non-cash revenue. The key point here, the reason we're pointing this out, is when we're doing the direct method and we're going down the income statement, figuring out the cash effect for those items, ignore these. These items have no cash effect. That's why we call them non-cash. So as we go down the income statement, just pass them right by. We're not going to make use of them in this direct method. Okay, keep that in mind. That's a very important point. Go to the next slide, and let's take a look at example number one from the website problems. So have that in front of you. Here's what it says. Presented below are the balance sheets for XYZ Company as of the end of 03 and the end of 02. Additionally, we have the 2003 income statement for XYZ. requirement one, which is what we'll work through in this module, prepare the operating activity section of the cash flow statement using the direct method. Now remember what our process is. For each item on the income statement, identify a corresponding balance sheet account, draw a T account, and force out the cash effect. We start from the income statement with our sales revenue. It's the first item listed. We've already said a few moments ago, sales revenue matches up with accounts receivable. So there's our T account for accounts receivable. We can enter in the beginning balance that's given to us. At the beginning of 03 or the very end of 02, the balance was $75,000. We can enter in the ending balance that's also given, $73,000. Now the question, and this is what's going to be kind of tough. The question is this, why would accounts receivable go up? Why would we have more accounts receivable? The reason receivables increase is we make sales. When we make sales, customers owe us more money. So the sales revenue increases accounts receivable. And we know what that amount is. That's coming right off the income statement, $380,000. Now, why does the accounts receivable go down? Well, it decreases. Well, why? You should be able to tell me. Why would we have less in accounts receivable? Because customers pay their bills. When we collect the cash from our customers, they no longer owe us anymore, and that reduces our accounts receivable. We don't know what that is, but we can figure it out by working a T account. Set up the algebra equation. $75,000, beginning balance, plus $380,000, the increases, the sales revenue, minus X, the decrease, the cash collections, equals the ending $73,000 balance. Solve for X, cash collected during 2003 from our customers, $382,000. And this is the process we're going to follow every time. For each account on the income statement, identify a corresponding balance sheet account, set up the T account, and analyze it to figure out the cash effect. And that analyzing it part, that's the hard part. You need to know why these accounts go up and down. Just look at your income statement for a second. What's the next account that we've got? The cost of goods sold. What balance sheet account is it going to match up with? Well, it's going to match up, if you go to the next slide, with inventory. Cost of goods sold is the cost of the inventory we sell to customers. Let's follow the same process. Beginning balance, entered in. Ending balance, there it is, right from the balance sheets. Well, why would inventory go up? What would cause us to have more inventory? Well, you go and buy more. Purchases of inventory cause an increase in the account. That allows us to have more inventory. Why would inventory go down? Why would we have less? Because we sell it. So the cost of goods sold reduces the inventory account. And we know what that is from the income statement. So once again, we can just set up our T account, we can set up our algebra equation and work the T account. And we can figure out that we purchased $135,000 of inventory. But wait a second. This one is the toughest one that we work with in the direct method because we can't stop here. Go to the next slide with me and answer this question. Why doesn't this tell us how much cash was actually paid for inventory purchases? We know how much we purchased. We just calculated it on the last slide. Why doesn't that number represent the cash that was spent? See if you can answer yourself for just a second. Why isn't that the cash spent to buy inventory? The reason is, well, guess what? Just like we can sell on account, we can also purchase on account. And some of those purchases were very likely made on account, meaning we bought them now and we would pay for them later. So when we're analyzing cash paid for inventory purchases, we need to analyze both the inventory account, which we just did, as well as the accounts payable account, because it represents the amount of cash that we actually spent on inventory purchases. Key point, let's hear it again. To determine cash paid to suppliers for inventory, we have to go through a two-step process. We have to analyze both the inventory account, that comes first, that lets us figure out the amount of inventory we bought. Then we have to analyze the accounts payable account, figure out how much cash we spent on inventory purchased. So go to the next slide and let's do the accounts payable T account. Enter in the beginning and ending balance. Remember, it's a liability. Normal balance is on the credit side. Why would accounts payable go up? Why would we owe more? We owe more when we make purchases of inventory. That's the increase. We just calculated this two slides ago when we analyzed the inventory account. We calculated that inventory purchases were $135,000. Why would accounts payable go down? Well, it goes down when we pay our bills. When we pay our cash to our suppliers, we reduce our liability. Now we can set up the algebra equation, work the T account. This is the number on the cash flow statement. Cash paid for inventory purchases, $142,000. That's a tough one. That's one that you want to be comfortable with, because you know what? You can rest assured that's on that exam. So you want to be able to work through the cash paid for inventory calculations. It's a two-step process, and it takes a little practice to get comfortable with that. Let's go to the next slide, and let's continue down our income statement. The next item on the income statement, insurance expense. Well, matching it up to the balance sheet, and I think you'll find a matching up to the balance sheet accounts really not too rough. Insurance expense matches up with prepaid insurance. Insurance paid for in advance. Enter in the beginning and ending balances. It's an asset. Balances are on the debit side. The reason prepaid insurance goes up, we buy more. Cash paid for insurance increases this account. The reason prepaid insurance goes down, we use it up. It becomes insurance expense when it gets used up. That number is given to us on the income statement. So just like we're going to be able to do in every situation, we'll set up the algebra equation, we'll work the T account, we'll figure out the cash paid for insurance, $45,000. It's going to be the same process over and over and over. All right, what's the next account on the income statement that we've got? Salaries expense. Look at your balance sheet. Don't go to the next slide yet. Look at your balance sheet. What account is it going to match up with? Salaries expense will match up with salaries payable. Go ahead to the next slide, and let's work salaries payable T account. There's the beginning balance. There's the ending balance. Salaries payable increases when we owe more to our employees. So our salaries expense, the increase to the liability. Salaries payable decreases when we pay it off. When we make a payment to our employees, we don't owe it to them anymore. That's the cash number. That's what we're looking to find. We set up our algebra equation and boom, cash paid for salaries. $48,000. What's next? The next account on the income statement, depreciation expense. What do we know about that? It's non-cash. Ignore it. It's not going to be part of our calculations. Just go right by it. You say, hey, that's great. Let's go to the next account. I have even better news for you. The next account is loss on sale of investments. You know, that's also non-cash. We're also going to ignore that one as well. Fantastic. The next account that's listed on the income statement, interest expense. That one's not non-cash. That one we need to go through. What account on the balance sheet's going to match up to this? Interest payable. Go to the next slide. Enter in the beginning and ending balances. And notice it's the same process. The reason interest payable goes up is because we incur more interest, our interest expense. Interest payable goes down when we actually pay the cash for interest. Do the algebra. We can solve for the cash paid for interest to be $10,000. The last expense, or the last item on the income statement, income tax expense, look at your balance sheet, matches up with what account? I'll go to the next slide. It matches up with our income tax payable. Enter in the beginning and ending balances. The reason income taxes payable goes up, we incur more taxes, our income tax expense. It goes down when we actually pay the cash to the government. That's our cash number. That's what we're looking for. Set up the algebra, solve for X, cash paid for taxes, $53,000. And we're done. And before we move on, I have one question for you. How did we know we're done? I mean, I'm telling you here in this example, it's over. But how do you know that we're done? There are no more operating cash flows. Well, there are no more items on the income statement. We've used every item on the income statement and determined its cash effect. We let the depreciation and the loss, we let those go. We ignore them because there's no cash effect. But everything else we've already accounted for. Nothing else to do. Go to the last slide, and there is how the direct method operating cash flows will appear. You start by showing the cash that you got, cash collected from customers, and then you list each specific cash outflow by amount to calculate the net cash provided by operating activities to be $84,000.